So basically, welcome. If you're watching along on YouTube, then you've been able to see and hear us at a different volume.
All right, I can't do it.
No, take it out. And you can even pass it over here. Oh. I can't put them.
You can't put them away thing. Because then they'll stop recording. Yes, if
but
we
I can just tuck them over here, where they're not going to be in the way.
Right. Okay. So we have this face tracker thing.
We're trying.
Oh, it totally went the wrong way.
Dude.
I faked it out.
Is it trying to look at
over here? Hello. Thank you very much. That's what it's supposed to do.
It tracks.
Well,
it kind of.
I confused it.
It tries to track.
I confused it at first. Yeah,
it tries to track.
So, we are gonna. I don't know what we're gonna do. We need to figure out how podcasts do. Like, do they just have to? Are they recording twice and splicing it in together?
I think that might be the easiest way.
I don't want to do that. I want to not have to edit our podcasts because it makes it better.
I don't think we're going to have to edit it that much, you know.
But to put both videos in with it or like YouTube it?
I don't know about that one yet.
Right.
Basically what it would be having to add the audio.
Right.
I don't know. No, because next time we'll be in sync and we'll be fine.
It seems, you know, difficult.
So the solution to that would just be to get a camera. That's just for this, not like a phone, something that I can link to the computer so I can link its audio with mics.
Okay. So if you're seeing this or hearing this, drop a link. Let us know where we can find that thing. Okay.
Yes.
No, that's not going to work because this barely records our faces anyway. Can we put it on the side and then
not like this. So we're going to turn off this one.
All right. Have a wonderful night. Love you. It's being weird.
Okay. So, taking this off that, we can probably just set up when I'm not using the stand for a mic stand. We can just set it up over here or like this. Just still a little far away.
Yeah.
For... Here, like this, it's gonna be a weird to get them both unless we sit closer, but we'll fuck around with it and find out later.
I mean, I like sitting very close to next to you, but
this is true. This
sometimes
is true. Well, and like we were talking about that already about when it comes to like talking like this, it feels more natural to be face to face,
right? So we can each see each other's expressions.
Yeah,
but I know that they have them. Like my friend Sarah does a podcast that's pretty popular.
Yeah.
And like on her TikToks, when she's talking, she's on camera. And when her co-host is talking, her co-host is on camera. Mm-hmm. And
is that just two cameras?
Right. I don't know.
Which our phones would work for that if we wanted to.
That's true. But then how would we sync them up?
That would just be a matter of uploading the files. And it would be me getting the file off of, so like at the end of the episode, we'd link your phone to my computer and I would get the file off your phone onto my computer, and then I would be able to put them together. I still have to learn how to do that well, but I am learning it.
Got it.
Yeah. And like
okay, so somebody needs to invent a voice activated camera that goes flash and then flash and then
and
that
the, how, but what would the voice activation be? Hey, look over there.
No, when I'm talking, it would be on my face, and when you're talking, it would be on your face.
Yeah. My, speaking of eyes on faces, this is a really random thing, but
absolutely.
So I've been doing a lot of like work on my home space this week and trying to like get balanced better because obviously I struggle with that. And I recognize, and I don't know what it means, and I'm a little bit uncomfortable with my projections of what it might mean, but I recognize that most of me my bad. Most of my artwork that I have in my room has a lot of direct eye contact.
Ooh.
and like significantly lots of faces and lots of direct eye contact. And just like it's something that I'm really, really drawn to, apparently. Right. So I only just noticed it in that way and I was like, that's kind of weird. But like it's like I would say over 90% of the people or like the faces are making direct eye contact.
Yeah. Yikes.
It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah, I can imagine. I have, I don't have a lot of faces unless it's like our family photos from when the kids were growing up, to look at.
Yeah.
I have a couple paintings of my dad up in the living room and we have some art in our bedroom, but it's not any with faces. I don't know. I guess I never thought about that. It's wanted more abstract art or something.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, like when my dad was still alive, he was in a life drawing class.
Nice.
And there were so many beautiful naked bodies all over the house.
Yeah.
And then when he had to move upstairs and we took his room, when he was really sick in that last year, we had taken everything down.
Yeah.
So I don't have any of the naked bodies up in the house anymore. Which has never been a problem. Like, you know, my kids know it's art and it's not pornography or whatever.
Right. Right.
That being said, I do have all of my father's life drawing portraits. In one of those portrait bags. You know what I mean? The big ones that people
Portfolio.
Yeah, portfolio.
I just wrote that down on a list of things that I want.
Oh, nice.
Funny.
So I still have that. And at one point, the back hallway here at the store, I had thought about putting up some gallery wire and that hanging some of Dad's
that would be pretty cool.
stuff to sell. And like, over 18 or adult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is the viewer discretion advised.
Exactly. Some of them are dang good. Like none of them are matted or printed or framed or anything like that. But like my dad was pretty dang talented.
Yeah.
In everything that he has ever done. Anyway, but that was my whole thing on the faces and the direct eye contact.
It was a weird thing to notice.
How's the boyfriend like that? Did he notice?
I don't know that it's something that you directly notice unless you are like into that kind of a space, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Like I just occurred to me when I was working on stuff and being just like, huh, because like I was getting my space set up with my workspace at home where it's like, here's where I'm going to be editing these videos.
Right.
And here's my home creative desk space that I haven't had in a really long time, actually. And I recognize that a part of my resistance to that is because like, and I say resistance to getting my shit together, but that's not the right terminology because I'm working really hard to get my shit together as much as I can. Right. And specifically in areas where I particularly don't feel like I have my shit together. And so like that's one of them. And like, I've had a lot of work this year on working through my like fear of success and like the emotions that are in that. Because it's a lot more complicated and it's a lot like weightier and more depth than I knew it was big. Okay. I knew it was a big, like fundamental piece, kind of like what we were talking about earlier when it comes to like the foundations of things and trying to make like examples of that, where it's like, you know, your core relationships, the core pieces of your connections with other people are based on these things that most of the time were formed before you had any conscious intent behind the forming of yourself.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, like growing up and how you grew up, like with who you grew up and their thoughts and fears.
You absorb it.
Yeah, without even knowing. You know,
kid dreams are terrifying and super cool.
Nature versus nurture, you know? Yeah. I mean, it pulls into that aspect as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and then you think, so like your home space to create,
right?
I haven't had a home space to create since pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Because during COVID was right the last year that my dad was still alive. And so I shut that part of me completely down. I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want it to flourish even in my brain, because it was the space that my dad and I shared together.
Yeah. Which,
even though in his last few years, he wasn't in the studio all that much.
No, it was mainly, but that,
me in there, but still
that space is painted into the walls.
Yeah,
like it's an emotional space, it's a connected space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a filter,
right,
on your environment and experience in
mm-hmm.
it. Funny. It's so fun walking into these and not knowing what we're going to talk about. Okay, and they're like having general ideas, but like I'm trying to, you know, and I'm trying to like compile things better so that way I can share them in a more cohesive way for people to be able to check in, where it's like, hey, you know, it's like the speed it up so you can catch up with the friend that you only see, you know, once right. or twice a month or a year or a decade in my case, in some cases, you know.
Right.
But it's hard to, it's a lot of threads that I'm trying to like bring together to hold together, because they're like, this is connected to that, which is connected to this.
Mm-hmm.
And
didn't you share something on Facebook about that exact thing like yesterday or today?
Probably.
Yeah,
it's been the theme of the week.
Because I remember seeing something about that, like trying to catch up with that friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you haven't seen in 10 years.
Yeah.
And you really want to tell them about all the good things.
Yeah.
And some of the bad things, because, you know, that makes us who we are.
But this is the experience. This is what has been going on.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And like going back to like that foundation, we were talking about going through those seasons of trial and or seasons of loss or seasons of the, like, it's the tower moments. Of like, okay, I guess we are like tearing down fundamental pieces,
mm-hmm. you know? Right?
And talking about how like when there's that big impact shatter moment of like, oh shit, that's cracked, and
yeah, that foundation that was there for so long because it was
we've been building on this, right?
And then all of a sudden, for multiple different reasons, it can be. There's a big fat fucking crack in it, and right. then you're like trying to pick up the pieces or trying to figure out to do with those broken pieces.
Yeah.
If you even want to try to patch them, if you want to dig a bigger hole, fucking throw it all out and then come back and maybe, I think I need to put a pool in that now.
Yeah, hey, nice hole you got there.
I mean, we use that hole for dead bodies. I didn't say it, I promise. So, right, it's like,
who knows what kind of crew
there?
Right, how many creative ways can we utilize this?
And you know, for your own well-being or mine in this case,
yeah.
How long do I let that hole sit?
Yeah, yeah.
Before I either fill it in or dig a fucking pool.
Well, and in the meantime, like there's a large spectrum between acting like that hole isn't there and, you know, using that hole to transform into a luxury for your future lifestyles, you
right.
know? And like for the most part though, like, especially when we're, you know, like to switch it back to the metaphor, you know, like the metaphor that we're using is talking about emotional damage.
Yeah.
Like emotional damage, emotional impact, you know, like fucking pain and what the fuck do we do with it?
Yeah.
You know?
And like instant pain, not something that you see coming.
Yo, devastating.
It's a devastating loss.
Yeah. And
you know,
how are you supposed to recover from that?
Death, a breakup.
Yo, life-changing events.
Life-changing events.
Yeah, a car accident.
A car accident.
Like something that happened that changed everything.
Yeah.
And now you have to pivot and you have to recover. Oh yeah,
like, you know
sometimes
all
getting
of,
fired, graduating, like
right.
However, it's fucking A, it's transitions.
Damn it.
Okay, it is transitions.
You know what? Transitions. Oh my god! Right now. God damn it! But what were we talking about earlier? We were talking about this earlier.
And
you know, like, it could be a friendship, it could be a parent, it could be, you know, that second cousin that's really close.
It's just connections that aren't there anymore, or connections that change in their structure. So, and like, basically, like, changes. It's big changes, and the transition from how things were before to how things are now. And how do you deal with the grief that comes with that? Because there's always grief that comes with changes. There's always stress that comes with changes. Even good changes are stressful. And there's always, like, the process of letting go of anything is an, it's an act of action in grief, right? And so, with grief, how do you honor what was, while not being stuck in it, while also not putting your whole focus on how much it hurts without it being there, because that doesn't help.
And then new things come in that want to fill the hole.
Or could.
Or could fill the hole. And, you know,
you could put that in the pool.
I don't know that I want that.
Well, and then I don't know what to do with it. So we're going to just line it along the fence.
Like,
just put it over here, because that's cool too. But like,
because there's now a hot tub that could be in the hole.
Also, with the pool. A pool and a hot tub.
The hammock. And the whole,
and
like, grill space.
These are cool, but I'd suck at actually taking time to relax. So am I actually, like, how much of these am I using versus how much do I want to use them versus how much do they represent me trying to do that for myself, but I don't actually know how to very well. And so
That's,
it's like, this is a key piece of that, though. Like, I want to go hammocking. I want to go hang out and relax. So I know that these tools or this equipment is a part of that, but I don't know how to make the action. Or lack of action in that case. What the fuck? That's dumb. That's so backwards.
And fucking therapy.
Man. And like,
so we were talking earlier, and I cried hard from the foundation that was cracked, and still trying to figure out what to do with it, where to put it, what is gonna be in it now. And, you know, it hasn't been that long, but then it feels like it's been forever.
It feels like you're taking paint and you're outlining the edges of it. So that way,
and
you
then
know
I keep,
not
but
to
then,
walk too close to them anymore.
But then I also keep just retracing the outlines that I first put there, and I'm not getting, it's not getting any smaller. It's not, you know.
You're getting bigger.
It's the layers keep going on top of it. So now there is a layer. But it's the same thickness, right? It's taller, but it's still the same thickness going around the hole. But there's a hole. It's not just a crack.
No.
Because after the crack happened,
the impacts didn't stop.
I said, fuck it, and dug a hole.
Well, because what the, that's like the, that's like when you know that you have to do a demo project. Like, say I'm gonna redo my kitchen. And so I'm gonna tear out all the cabinets because I'm gonna replace the cabinets. I haven't gotten the cabinets to replace them with yet, but I got so excited about it, and I know
I
that that's the one
cabinets.
That I really want to fucking do. And so I tore down the cabinets, and now I don't have fucking cabinets in my kitchen. And now something else happened, and now I don't have the time or budget to go and buy new cabinets yet. And now I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. Because now I can either compromise and put the old ones down, or what if, you know, maybe they, you know, got burnt, or maybe I threw them away, or whatever. Maybe I can't. Maybe they got damaged in the teardown, and I can't.
Too damaged to reuse is what happened.
And
we were
And it's weird, though, because, like, drawing over the drawing over the lines, it's... So last night I was working on a piece of clay that I was trying to carve it, and it was like more dry than is ideal for doing that kind of work. So I kept having to spray it down and then go over it and then spray it down and then go over it, because I could use something really sharp and really heavy and I could just gouge it, but I wouldn't be able to control what cracked off. And I didn't want to damage it because it was a memorial piece. And so I had to layer by layer carve it, carve it with a different tool to get a better look,
right,
to get it the way that I wanted. And so my brain is telling me, or my intuition is telling me, mm-hmm, that feeling of going over the lines, it is not as it's not as pointless, and it's not as much the same thing as it feels like as you think it is. And like the little circle thing where, like, if I look at it from above and it's just a circle and it's like, oh, here, I'm drawing over the same lines. But then if I turn it sideways and I can see it's a spiral that's growing upward, actually, it's just going along those same lines.
Shut up.
Because, like,
no, some that totally makes all the.
Listen, it's hard sense. Though, because how do you give yourself frames of reference in that, especially when sometimes it feels like the layers that you're moving up are fucking slow or small or not that far, like mm-hmm, depending on where your, like,
progress grows.
Yeah. And where your points grows. Of reference are.
Right.
Like 3D art, you know, like where are your dimensions lining up, and that's going to affect what it looks like.
Right.
You know,
that's the hard part. But then you think, where was I 2 months ago?
Right. Look how much it's fucking happened. It's been so busy.
So busy. Like,
so busy. And I'm so tired.
Seriously. Oh, it's December 20th.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Solstice.
Yeah.
Longest night of the year.
Yeah.
I
wrote notes about that.
Yeah. I mean, in the warmest month so far too for December.
Yeah, we're doing a bunch of weird shit.
Yeah.
Like all of the levels.
Mercury being retrograde until like the second or something. Dude, like,
dude, everything it feels so weird. Like the last 2 days I've finally felt a bit of a break.
Uh-huh.
But oh my god.
I had a human walk in last night, and we were talking, and they said, so I need a kit to get me through this fucking retrograde.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything like that?
No, but
I need
a
kit.
We can make some.
And I said, no, but I can make it.
Yes, ma'am.
And so there are... So 2024, this current one ends on the second. So it's not, I can't do anything for this one. But there are three more retrogrades in 2024. Ugh. And so, we are going to make a,
get me through this shit kit. Let me write that down.
Please do. And it can just be basic shit. It could be, I don't know, books, candles, crystals.
It's a hunker kit.
Something that you can just
survival
stop.
Mode.
Mm. Retrograde survival kit.
Yeah.
I mean, because it doesn't even just have to be Mercury.
Well, retrograde or even just like.
I mean, remember when we had it was 7 planets retrograde at the end of August? Like, what the fuck? I haven't even checked.
I forgot.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. I do. I do. I do. But I, like,
sorry
I'm so
to bring it up, everybody. But, like,
no, we're just going to hold space and acknowledge the validity of that, because that was some valid fucking struggle, right?
Valid.
Because, like,
but
oh
yeah,
my
so
God. That's so funny. So I wrote down, I've been like pulling things together, right? And mm-hmm. I wrote down some stuff, and I found this right before, and it was basically just like a note, a pondering. And it's like consistency and cycles. It's cycling, how to show up with allowing cycling, right? And this is talking about that spiral of growth, right? Uh-huh. And so it's like, okay, how do you do shit that you can't make yourself do? Or more specifically, how do you stop shit that you can't stop doing? How do you unlearn what you can't even see because you're so close in it?
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got underneath it was like that survival mode.
I do want to take a pause out.
Yeah.
These are harder questions.
Oh my god, yeah.
Neurodivergent people.
Yep.
Which I am just realizing that I am quite neurodivergent in the things I do and my mannerisms and how my brain works. My husband is fully, fully neurotypical. If you've ever met him and me, you will understand. However, I'm just realizing that, like, things that I thought were just me aren't. Mm-mm. Many, many people have the things or do the things that I do.
Yeah.
But there are lots and lots of neurotypical people. And I'm like, yep, we're the weirdos. But shit, it's gone. I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, these are hard questions for neurospicy people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like neurotypical people?
Yeah.
They would just be like, oh yeah, you do this, 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 and this.
How do they just break it down into steps like that?
And they just break
like
it down,
like,
and it's easy. And well, you're like, what the fuck?
But at the same time though, just how many times have you had any person, or more specifically a neurotypical person, lay out the steps for something that would not work for you?
Oh, plenty.
Whereas like your brain comes up with the logical steps, but just because it's your logic, like just because your brain's really good at providing steps doesn't always mean that they're the right steps. And
so this morning, Butch and I were rearranging. Was that this morning?
Time's been a little
was
while.
Was that today? No, just kidding. It was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yesterday. We were rearranging the store a little bit to Maya, one of our readers, is doing a window install for World of Winter here in Grand Rapids. And we were taking everything off the windows and moving the stained glass display and this and this and this. Mm. And I looked at the windows and I'm like, ugh, those need to be washed. And Butch goes, Tom can't get here soon enough to do them. Because original plan, Maya and Butch were going to install last night, yesterday afternoon.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I understand that Tom can't probably get here, but I need to call him anyway, because in my brain, those windows can't have this beautiful display that's going in them while they are fucking filthy.
Right, right.
And like, in Butch's head, it was, doesn't matter, they're dirty, it's going up, because this is what we planned and this is what we're doing.
Here's the plan, we're sticking to it.
Yeah. But I'm like, nope.
Displaying.
That's not gonna happen.
Yeah, no.
And but for a brief second, I was like, no, Butch is right, because Maya's planning on this, and this is what I want. I want to keep her happy too, right?
Right.
And then I was scared to tell her that I really wanted the windows washed before we installed her beautiful artwork.
Yeah.
So I called Tom. He can't get here till Friday.
Right.
Fine. But I didn't want to tell Butch or Maya that we're not putting it up after we did all this work. Right. And now we have the next like 2 days, three days that the store is all different and the windows are like big wide open and I feel like I'm in a fishbowl. I didn't want to tell them that it was going to be like that till Friday because I didn't want to disappoint them.
Right.
Because they did all of this work.
Yeah.
And so then I told them, and they were both like, yeah, okay, whatever. And I'm like,
ah. Like, a non-issue.
A non-issue.
But it was taking up bandwidth. Because it was like, okay, but I've got a factor for this and for this and for this. And, like, it seems kind of weird because it feels like I am so conditioned to feel guilty for, like, needing to accommodate my brain. Because my brain can't help but notice what my brain notices, and my brain can't help but operate the way that it operates.
Right. However, I am fully aware, and you mentioned this earlier, I am really good at letting other people feel like they don't need, what'd you say?
I was talking about your... I think, well, if I'm tracking you right, I was talking about your being really good at making sure that people understand that they can say no.
Yeah.
And I...
But, like, yeah, that was it. So I can I can give other people that space for them to be like, this isn't okay.
Yeah.
And be like, totally fine.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You got to
more accommodating of other people's needs than of your own.
I am more accommodating of other people's needs than my own.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because in that same situation, if somebody would have come to me and said, oh, we can't do it, I'll be like, oh, okay, no problem. Mm-hmm. Which I have done many, 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 many times over the last while, totally. Right?
Anytime you have to work with people, that's a big
part. Yeah. And, you know, people are supposed to call, people are supposed to show up, people are supposed to drop off new art, whatever it is. And then, fuck, life gets in the way and something happens. And they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry.
Right.
And I'm like, for what? Don't be.
Right.
You are totally fine.
Yeah.
Life happens. Life gets in the way. You got a flat tire. You got a headache.
Dude,
just whatever
stuff,
it
stuff,
is.
Stuff happens, and sometimes you have to accommodate it.
And I don't need a reason.
Yeah.
I don't need you to feel like you have to give me a reason because you were late to something.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's
should, honey,
an appointment, to. If it's scheduled, if it's whatever it is, it'd be nice to get a heads up.
Yes.
But, like, I have trauma-induced been able to, like, come up with something on the spot
scrap
to make
that.
The other people fucking happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when it comes to me, I can't let that go.
Oh, my God.
Listen, fuck no,
and you're so good at it, too. You're so good at it, too. You're like, and dude, I can, you, listen, yeah. Your improv skills are so good.
But I can't let it go for myself.
No, no. Because it feels like, for some reason, it feels like we don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Even though we give it to other people without questioning whether or not they deserve it all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I, you know, TikTok and COVID and all the things that everybody's learning and my brain and figuring out that I am very fully neurospicy.
Yes.
Right? Trauma induced as well. Apologizing for every little thing, whether it's my fault or not.
Yes.
I've done that with my husband. You know, we've been together 22 years. I don't know, whatever it is. Oh, yeah, 22 years. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until 4 years ago, 3 years ago, that I realized I don't have to apologize for things that aren't my fault.
No.
I still do sometimes.
Yeah, but that's
but it's less.
Yeah, and that's more out of like habit.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's more out of habit, but I notice it a lot more when other people, you know, they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't make it in that day." Blah blah blah. And I'm like, "Don't be. You do not need to be sorry to me for me because I fully understand that." Right now is a shit show, no matter who you are and where you are, and you have all the right full intentions of coming in and seeing me, but whatever happened.
Yeah.
And I don't even need to know. If you want to tell me, that's great, but I don't even need to know because I know how I am when I get home.
Yeah.
Shoes come off, bra comes off, and I am fucking not going anywhere.
No,
I am not going anywhere.
No.
And
I will avoid signs of existence.
Absolutely. And I want that to be more normalized with everybody. And I think it's sort of getting there because of the quarantine and because of everything else.
Yeah.
You know, because then once I get home, and I know I'm fully not going out, but there are things that sometimes I wish I could, like, throw my boots back on and throw a bra back at and actually go out and hang out and be with people, but...
Yeah.
That's not
going to happen. Oh, my God. When people make multiple rounds of errands in one day, it blows my mind.
No,
it blows my mind when people can just, like, oh, let me go do this. And they, like, put their shoes on, jump in the car, go and do the thing, come back. And then just like immediately like step right back into their day to the point where they can do it again later. And it's completely not disruptive to them at all. At all. Like you're just, oh, I'm going to run out for that. And then you come back. And you're, oh, I'm going to run out for that. It's the same as like, oh, hang on. Let me run to the basement real quick to grab this. It's the same. Yeah. Except they're going on a trip somewhere and doing things and engaging with people.
Nope.
And then,
Yeah, my family fully knows. If we try to do too many things in one day, mom is toast for like.
Yo, I pay for it for days. Yeah. And depending on how much, depending on how much and what other stuff happens.
Oh.
Like that was basically like 2 days ago was when I was like I was somewhat forced to have to acknowledge the fact that I'm like, yo, you're playing with some real thin strings over there, honey. Like you are well extended beyond your comfort zones.
There are no fucking spoons, dude.
Like I was getting super, super mad about stuff that was like disproportionately. It wasn't irrational. It was disproportionately upset over things.
Yeah.
And having to like pause. Whoa, look at that. That's not how I normally would feel about that. And so having to like pause, step back a second, look at it really closely and being like, is that me or is that them? Like, is that them or is that me? Because I haven't been like saying no. Damn it. My edge is blurred and I didn't catch it until I'm too fucking tired now.
Somebody else showed up.
Oh my God.
Somebody else showed up. Yep. Fucking glitches.
Yeah, listen. Right. Well, and like glitches get also, yes. Welcome to After Hours at the 12th House. This is episode 4, Glitches Get Stitches.
Yes.
And Sarah and I are talking about being so hard on our parts when we glitch out, and it's the struggle of struggling.
Yeah, so all the neuro spicy people, here we are.
Yeah.
But yeah, something happened. And of course, I don't know if we can remember what happened last week, but one of us said
tune in next week. I think it was you.
Because at the very end my brain glitched and then it just was like, oh, glitches get stitches. Yeah. because our brains don't function fully like they should.
Yeah, yeah. Why are we so mean to the parts of ourselves that are struggling to perform according to our programming?
Right. So here's the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's brought to you by...
Ooh, I have one. I had a rune that was on my floor that I brought with me, and I looked it up, and it's Fehu. Yeah.
Okay. So this episode is brought to you by
Fehu,
and
Mini
Charms Blow Pops.
Nice.
I've been sucking on them. I don't know if you can tell, but
right. With excerpts brought to you by Pocket Cheese.
Because we like pocket cheese.
Yep. And basement nachos. Don't ask questions.
You don't need to know. Everything's fine. So it's been that kind of a day.
Yeah.
Being mean to ourselves for stupid shit that when we aren't out of spoons or glitching, we can fully forgive ourselves for all of those things. But it's those times that we glitch out or there aren't enough fucking spoons.
Yo, there's not enough spoons left.
Or you've done four things in one day and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die.
I'm compromised, folks.
Fully.
fully fucking compromised.
You know.
And can't, like, can I pull it together for a literal life and death extreme situation? Yes, I always usually fucking can.
Maybe.
But that's always because I keep like a 5% reserve for apocalyptic problems because I've gone through several of them. And so now I know to never,
in,
you know.
In
like,
the last month, you have been through the fucking shit and bad.
You know, well, like, but then like the last year, the last couple years, like,
right.
Like we're both like, no, that's like the literal like backup $5, you know, for your emotional gas can of I will literally die if I don't have at least that much of a buffer.
Yeah.
And it will either be by natural causes
or
homicide or potentially like a situation of
yeah.
I can't remember what they're calling it on TikTok now. But it's a term for I'm trying to do it with like a trigger warming of a content warming of self-harm.
Oh, unaliving?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Where it's like if I do not have at least this much battery left, that is the areas that I get into.
That could happen.
And like we talked about it a little bit last week, where it was like a year ago today, I was going through a bout of one of my, like, well, in the last decade, hands down, the deepest hardest depression. The hardest, deepest place, yeah, of being in that kind of a mindset that I've been in a long, you know. And so I've been, you know, contemplating that as we're going into winter solstice and having a look at, you know, the last year as it's passing,
yeah,
and looking forward to the next year, mm-hmm, and what kind of, you know, like what kind of growth has happened, what kind of changes have happened, what kind of, you know, rest has and has not happened, and like, right, what are my goals, what am I like realigning with, just like what do I care about, what do I not care about, and how does that map out with my priorities, and like because I had a so my partner's fantastic, and he is really good at asking really good open questions,
mm-hmm,
and holding space for me to verbally process things, because that's part of my neurodivergence,
mm-hmm,
is using that verbal processing, because sometimes when I think it in my head and when I express it to somebody else, it comes out in different forms.
Sure.
And so it's not always like sometimes I don't realize I care about something until I'm telling somebody about it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like something will upset me.
Or yeah, telling someone off about it.
Well, there's that one for sure. Right. But if I'm telling somebody off, I already know it's a thing. You know, sometimes something will happen and I will experience it, participate it, or observe it, and I don't realize that it's an actually bigger thing, mm-hmm, than I realize until I'm telling one of my people about it. Like, hey, this happened. And then they're like, oh, that sounds like that was kind of a, or like I'll be midway through explaining it to them and be like, wow, that actually brought up way stronger feelings than I realized in that moment.
Yeah.
Because in that moment I was socially masking because I was engaging with somebody. So there's a layer, right, of filter that automatically goes on when it comes, oh, yeah, to verbally communicating with a human or non-verbally communicating. Human proximity being perceived.
Right.
I have a certain filter that I cannot help but put on,
oh,
as just a brief buffer. It's like skin. It's entered my energetic integumentary system,
mm-hmm,
to protect me from what's going on around me.
Or what could happen.
Yeah. That's, and bracing, you know,
that's,
and I can't
what we
help
always
it.
Do is,
yeah,
we prepare, we try to prepare for all the things that are going to happen.
Right.
It's like most of the things that might not ever happen, but we need to know what they are.
Right. Well, it's like, it's the paint around the pool.
Right.
It is like, okay, so I don't have to fall into it to be, you know, like we can see that there's, sometimes you can see that there's a hole and you don't have the stuff to fill the hole and you don't have the, mm-hmm, stuff to fix the hole and you don't have the stuff to cover the hole, but you know that the hole's there. So you know that you can tell anybody that is around you about the hole, and, or, you know, even when you are fixing it, it's the caution cones,
right,
outside a work project. It's the literal, like, I can give you at least a visual barrier to remind you not to act like that's not there,
mm-hmm,
because then you're going to get hurt or I'm going to get hurt and the whole thing might get fucked up and that sucks.
Right.
So, you know, so I'd been talking to my partner about it, and he basically, like, I'd just been looking up spoon and fork theory videos on YouTube,
mm-hmm,
because I had been talking to my sister-in-law about them, and I was like, ooh, let me send them to you, but like, now I gotta find a good one that I can send to you that I actually,
right,
and in that learned more about it myself, but he was in the car with me while I was doing that research,
mm-hmm,
and then proceeded to, you know, what was it, the next day or the day after, held me accountable so gently and so kindly, and I was over here like strongly procrastinating a thing that I had to do because I had overbooked myself socially because I forgot it was the holidays and I hate it. It's,
yes,
a lot going on, and I'm,
yeah,
I'm feeling it. I feel like I'm going through a cheese grater, and I can feel everybody else's cheese grating. And it's very exhausting sometimes, even though,
mm-hmm,
I'm so proud of myself at how well I've been able to, you know, hold space and help other people maneuver through things that have been significantly more challenging than my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My stuff mostly is just dealing with the residual of old stuff,
right,
right now. Like, I've got stuff going,
yeah,
on, but it doesn't feel as overwhelming as it did before.
Right.
You know, and I'm supported. I'm lucky. I'm in a place that I've worked really hard to get to.
Yeah.
But so he very gently, as I'm like, ah, I don't want to, he's like, well, do you have the spoons for that? And I was like, ah. He's like, because, you know, in the video it was talking about, you know, you don't, you don't get more of them. And sometimes you can borrow from tomorrow's, and but we don't want to do that, you know. And it was so nice, and I was just like, "No, you're right." I'm so depleted already because I've been borrowing from tomorrow, and obviously based on my emotional reaction, I don't want to borrow any more spoons from tomorrow because I can't.
Right.
And he's like, "It's okay for you to not do that, especially because like." You know, through trial and error and deliberate work, most of the people in my life, like you, are okay with me not being able to do things.
Right.
And they are not worried, questioning, wondering, doubting at all whether or not it's okay for me to not be able to do something mm-hmm. on the scheduled timeline and or order of operations that I thought it was going to be when I thought about it, you know?
Right. Because we always think we can do more.
Yeah.
No matter how many times it happens.
We base our baseline off of our best days.
Yeah, instead of our worst days, which we should be doing.
Or at least a medium. It's a, you know, like we can always aim high, but have grace. That's, you know?
And that's part of the hard part.
Yo, because, well, and like, because we don't get, first of all, you don't get taught grace for yourself. Because growing up, especially depending on, you know, where your parents were mm-hmm. at that time, emotionally speaking, and also just, right. you know, society, that, like, the stuff that we observed, the stuff that we absorbed wasn't great.
Right.
And it certainly wasn't like, hey, here's what's actually happening and let me educate you on it and how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you learn how to get through something by somebody who doesn't know how to get through shit? So they're just literally doing their best and we're literally doing our best too.
Right.
But yeah.
That, well, yeah. And building on that part, so I had Boston at 27. Or 28. I had Boston at 28. I had Ramsey at 30 and then Elsie at 35.
Yeah.
And I can tell you what, I am a way better mother.
Yeah.
To Elsie growing up at her ages.
Yeah.
Starting at 35, then starting at 28.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Being the boy's mom for those first 7 and 5 years before Elsie came along.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there was a lot of outside everything during all of this because, you know, like Boston was 2006, Ramsey was 2007.
Dude, through complete chaos. And then,
you know, the world exploded in fall of 2008. And so, and most of the world was also on, we weren't quarantined.
Yeah.
But we were all on unemployment.
Yeah.
For the most part, you know, for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And... yeah, I, you know, like if that's one thing I could tell, and I hate the moms that give advice, blah, 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 mm-hmm. right? But if I could,
yeah,
don't have kids until you're over 30.
Oh, man, yeah.
Because just the experience from 27 to 35, shit. Holy shit. I grew so much and... yeah, I was, and of course, if you ask the boys, they're not going to remember, and they're going to be like, no, you were a great mom, blah, 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 until, you know, they turn 28 and start going to therapy, and then
they're going to have their stuff, sure, but their stuff is not going to be like our stuff.
And that was another thing that I've always feared. I'm like, I damn sure not be my mother.
Right, over my dead body. Am I going to pass down the things that fucked me up so bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there were times, especially when it was just the boys, I heard my mother come out of my mouth.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And it scared the fuck out of me.
Terrifying and heartbreaking.
Not that my mother was a bad mother. It was, there were things and things happened. And mm-hmm. you know what I mean? She's my mother. And she was dealing with her own stuff, too.
Yeah. Unfortunately, kids are not buffered from that.
Right. And that was the thing that I really didn't want to have my children have to experience or have to grow up too soon.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe that Boston's going to be 18 in less than 2 months. Like, that really fucking freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah.
But also, like, I grew a human.
Yo, you did so good too.
Like I fully raised.
Yeah,
I mean, I got from three, but like fully raised a human. They are going to be legal adult here that's in less than 2 months.
That's a graduation.
Like, you know, holy shit, you know?
Yeah. Dude, fucking high five.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge accomplishment. He didn't die.
He didn't.
Cheers. They didn't die. We made it. That is literally the number one goal in raising kids.
Right.
And unfortunately, and not to be super fucking lighthearted about it, but like big fucking heart.
Yeah.
For when it doesn't always work that way, because sometimes it fucking doesn't.
Right. Exactly. And then.
Which is all the more reason to celebrate.
You know, and.
When it can.
And I know it's not all of them when I say this, but I was in, I still am, in a group. It was an online board, you know, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
And so there's probably 30 or 40 of us that still, I skipped a part there, sorry. When I was pregnant with Boston, I found this group of women and we have kept in touch. Birth boards.
Yeah.
They were a huge thing back in
the
mid-2000s. So we're all talking about how the kids are graduating and how amazing it is and da-da-da-da-da. And that's what I was meaning by all of them.
Yeah.
It's not all of them. I know this, but most of their kids are all going to college.
Yeah.
And like, that's a huge accomplishment and good for them. And this is amazing and blah, blah, blah. Boston is not.
No, and good.
And he has no interest in going. He is taking current classes in a construction institute program where
fantastic.
He will have a really fucking good job when he graduates in May with zero debt.
Yeah.
And
huge. That's fucking huge.
With everything that's gone on in the last year about student debt and all of this, it just really surprises me that most of all of these kids that are the same age that, you know, I've watched them all grow up are going to college and gonna have that predatory debt.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
I do understand the very best things about extending your education.
Oh, fucking yeah.
However.
Yeah. Well,
I guess me not having parents that were rich or me not being rich myself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it took a long fucking time. And I know some of those moms are still paying off their student loans from when before they had kids.
Yeah.
Right. So it doesn't make sense to me.
Multi-generational preying on,
Right. It doesn't make sense to me to be incredibly happy for your child because they're going to college.
Yeah. Well,
unless
that's because college used to mean something very different, you know?
Right.
It represents something that is very different than the actuality of it.
But, you know, like...
Sometimes.
You know, like from when... I went to college. I was there for like a year and a half. Oh, that's that noise.
Mm.
No, it's the bus.
Yeah.
I thought it was the...
Oh, the wah-wah? No.
Turning
it
off.
It shouldn't. I've been keeping an eye on it.
Okay. Anyway, it just surprised me that like when I went to college, it was a hell of a lot cheaper too.
Yeah.
And people could get out of college and get a good paying job.
Yeah.
But in the last... 28 plus years.
Yeah.
That has changed so much.
Yeah.
The millennials, the Gen Zers, the older Gen Zers.
Yeah.
Like things are way different than when I graduated high school in 1995.
Yeah.
And I could get out of college and have a decent job and have this and do all the things. I understand that I made a different choice for my life. But I honestly don't see how any of the kids that are graduating today and going to college and graduating in 4 years are going to get a job in their field, let alone a good paying job in their field.
Yeah. Well,
because good paying now is so much different than 30 years
ago.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. Well,
I mean, we can all see it.
And like on paper, it looks like it.
Yeah.
Because paper doesn't accommodate for cost of living.
Right.
You know, so like right now I'm making more per hour than I've ever made.
Oh, yeah.
You know, And that is something that, like, I was just like, dang. And like, I cannot actually work full time at a traditional job.
Yes.
It's something that with my trauma, with my brain and with my whatevers,
yeah,
it's something that I can't do.
Right.
And there's still a lot of shame that I'm unpacking around that.
Right.
Even
like,
though,
why shouldn't I be able to?
Well,
do
that
this?
like as soon as like, and that now is like a red flag for, hey, check in with yourself, because mm-hmm. that's not healthy, and you know that that's not a healthy,
right,
you know, line of, that's not going to help contribute, fix, or better anything.
Right.
So don't spend money there. You know.
Yeah.
But
right. I mean, it's, yeah. Butch and I together,
yeah,
are making more than we ever have,
yeah,
and are still broke.
The struggle feels exactly the same,
yeah,
level,
oh, yeah,
of stress as it did when,
you know,
I graduated high school in 2008. You know,
yeah, which, it's still gross and sad,
yeah,
and cost of living and everything has gone up. Like, our pay went up and cost of living went up, so
yeah,
we,
oh,
never
more,
ever caught up.
Yeah.
From 30 years ago.
No, it doesn't feel like it. Well, now, like.
And I know not everybody's me, and I know.
No, but.
You know, like, some of those moms, they have
stress,
really good jobs, and they're doing great things,
yeah,
and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure their kids will too.
Yeah.
It's just part of my own trauma and,
yeah,
all the other things growing up and going to college and doing,
yeah,
doing the things that you're supposed to do and then not end up fulfilling all of those.
Yeah.
It just, it's crazy to me to want to have your kids be in that much debt immediately,
yeah,
after they graduate high,
yeah,
school. That's yeah, that's,
yeah,
what I wanted to say about that.
Yeah. And which is fucking completely valid. And also that's a I am humongously in favor of going to college. I'm also humongously in favor of waiting a minute after high school before going into college,
mm-hmm,
because I feel like having a moment to stop and reset from the academic machine, because that's like your whole fundamental years spent going to school, right? And
right,
school is important, right? Though I'm not arguing that in the slightest.
Oh, absolutely.
However, school can only prepare you so much for living out in the world. And once you get out in the world, especially like young brains, oh my God, oh my God. I don't think anybody should make massive life, permanent life affecting decisions,
well, yeah,
during those first couple years of early adulthood, because,
and
that is a lot going on.
Isn't it?
And
I might be making this up fully, but don't they say that your
brain doesn't stop, your frontal lobe doesn't stop developing until
25?
Yeah.
Yeah.
25,
and
for the refined decision making.
Seven
process.
Years after you made that big decision to go,
yeah,
into so much debt.
Yeah.
And granted, I understand that a lot of kids had parents that were able to save and pay,
yeah,
for their college and,
yeah,
do all of the,
and we're
things,
just support in general. Like, people come from a lot of different backgrounds, but,
right,
we speak from ones that don't have that security the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never had it. If,
no,
I wanted to go to college, I had to take out student,
yeah,
loans. And it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I only ended up in college for a year and a half, you know? And,
yeah,
then I went to a career training place,
yeah,
and that was another 10 grand,
yeah,
and you know, it really put a damper on my life and how I could have lived it if,
oh,
I didn't have to make those payments,
yeah,
and I just,
yeah,
don't want my kids to have to go through the same shit that I did.
That I think giving them relief from that,
mm-hmm,
will be so good for them, and that's like a, like, that's something that you feel really called to really strongly, which is how you know that that's the right choice,
yeah,
to be making, and especially because when it's time, if he changes his mind, he can,
right,
and you'll support him in no matter what,
absolutely,
decision is made. But in the meantime, once you get into adulthood, we're going to start you off on a foot that has more security than investing in a future, like.
Right.
You've invested in your future enough after, you know, this 18, college, high school is hard. Like, school is hard.
Yeah.
The stuff in school is hard, and it's a hard time.
Right.
Socially and emotionally.
Oh my gosh. And
like, developmentally. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, that is it's a period. And especially if you are not neurotypical.
Right.
Then you're dealing with other stuff. And a lot of times you don't
realize, kind of like a, you don't realize what effects things had on you until you take a moment to pause and actually look at it.
Right.
Otherwise, you're so busy just kind of trucking through it that you don't necessarily realize
The
check engine light has been on for a lot longer than I realized, and that thunking changed tones, you know?
Right. Yeah. Or I needed to get the oil changed 3 months ago. And
yeah.
I didn't know it.
Yeah.
And that was already 2 months
ago. Or, actually the gas meter's broken. And so I have no idea, and then you got to familiarize yourself with weird gauges or fix it. And if you can't mm-hmm. afford to fix it, then you have to come up with a different way. And it's not like you can, like, you have to come up with a different way.
Right.
And you're going to come up with a different way, so you can do it on purpose or you can do it by happenstance.
Yep.
And I think especially with the uncertainty that we're moving into, I think that that's a really, like, really fucking wise choice that you made to be like, here, let's put this here, because now you have a really good job that you can get that right away.
Yeah.
Then if you want to do other stuff later, you can.
And that was fully his choice to do.
Dude,
that.
Smart fucking kid. And, good job.
Like, along in those lines.
Yeah.
I don't care if my kids ever move out.
No. That.
I mean, I'm sure there'll be a point someday.
Yeah.
If they're both like 30 and 32.
Yeah.
Well, and,
I want you to move out because you're moving up and happier.
Right. Right. But, they keep... You only get 18 Christmases.
Oh my
you
God, blah, I hate blah, 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 blah. That. When people
really,
make jokes about it.
Right, and it's just like, you know what? Yeah, empty nesters, and yes, everybody should have and live their own life, but If my kids don't want to go because they're saving money, because they're planning for something else,
I'm
not going to kick them out of my house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
That's a really special thing.
Yeah.
That's a really special thing.
I mean, I like my kids.
Yeah, that's fucking cool.
Yeah. I mean, we don't always get along.
No.
But we kind of do.
Yeah. Well, if there's problems, then they get addressed.
Right. That too.
Yeah. I could talk about that forever.
Oh, yeah. 'Cause
that's super in theme, like, this week of just being like, feeling disconnected, recognizing it, and then addressing it. And then for me this week, I've had several incidences of the other person immediately doing, oh, yeah, let me hear, let me do that for you. Mm-hmm. And being just like, oh, thanks, I really needed that. And then be just like, fucking great, I love being able to do that for you. And I'm just like, I feel like I love doing that for other people too,
mm-hmm.
all the time, because I need it all the time.
And, acts of service.
Oh my God, yeah. Sure. Well, and words of affirmation.
Yeah.
Like the twofers, give me reassurance, please.
And the love languages, I just brought that up, but I fully don't know what mine is. Because I kind of like them all.
I mean, yes, they all meet needs. They all meet needs. And I think, like, yes, obviously you're going to have a stronger, like, part of certain ones at certain times. For me anyways, I don't have it as like, oh, well, physical touch is one of my main love languages, and it always has been, but that's because I'm a very tactile person.
Yeah.
And so that's just going to be a part of it. But sometimes I think just knowing them helps you communicate them. And I think the goal is to be able to communicate them.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, if you're not receiving the one that you need, you can communicate it. And if you have one to give that's not what somebody else needs, then you can communicate that too.
That's what I think is, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think I know how to voice them well enough. Like, that's part of my glitch. Like, I don't know what I need when I need it well enough to be like, nope. I just need a hug.
Oh, or, that's not what I need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I however, so totally jumping to a totally different subject. Last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Allie came in.
Mm-hmm.
Allie is a medium.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to put her on the schedule to have
Medium readings?
Yeah. Reading sounds weird to say.
Yeah, I mean, reading is correct.
Yeah.
Because you're reading the information that you're receiving about somebody else's stuff.
Right.
So it's...
Anyway, so she's a medium, right? Yeah. And we were talking and getting to know each other a little bit.
Yeah.
And she felt one of my grandmas over my right shoulder.
Yeah.
And she, dead on with the way she described my grandma.
Yeah.
And then Maya was here and she had a similar event with Maya.
Yeah.
And we're going to end up doing like a live show in the basement.
Yeah.
Come January sometime.
Oh, fucking cool.
But so as she's sitting there, we're talking, I start getting emotional because, you know, overactive tear duct syndrome over here.
You mean water sign?
Fuck off. But yes, I started getting weepy, really, really weepy.
Yeah.
And it's been 8 years since one grandma died and 11 since the other one had passed. So it's like it's been quite a few years since my grandmother's died. Both of my grandfathers died when I was little.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Allie, we're talking. She's like, she was apologizing for making me cry, sort of, but then not really, because then she's like, well, you know. If I don't make you cry, I'm not doing it right.
Right. How do you know that it's
because it's emotionally
connected to,
right? Yeah. So she asked if she could give me a hug.
Yeah.
And I took a beat and I was like, no.
Yeah.
Which normally anybody asks for a hug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I have been told by more than a one person that hugger. I give the best hugs.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm always a hugger, but at that exact moment, I was like,
nope.
Ooh.
Nope. I'm processing.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
And that was a whole different fucking thing for me too.
Yeah, that's cool.
I didn't realize, and it wasn't because of her, because I've hugged random strangers.
No. It was, you're processing.
But that part, I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Thank you, but no.
Good. Good job.
And it felt really weird.
Well, because
I didn't recognize that feeling.
Yeah. Well, because it does feel a little like illegal sometimes.
Yeah.
It feels illegal to be like, I know that you want to do this for me, but I don't actually want that.
Right. That's, I have been getting better with that type of thing.
Yeah. Well, that it takes practice.
Like I have people, you know, whatever the case, and I have been, it's okay to say no.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in my it's okay to say no era.
What some people call it, their villain era.
Oh, well.
for those of us with complex trauma, it's more of a, would it be okay if not?
Can we rain check that?
Okay, but I mean, it's perfectly okay if you can't, but would it be possible to maybe...
Can I like have sticky notes and like, I owe you one hug here? Save it for later.
Right. Like
prepaid meals or free cups of coffee.
Uh-huh. Right.
To be
redeemed at another time. Gift Please. Card. It's a coupon.
Yes.
I still give people coupons. Coupons.
Oh, I love coupons.
I love them so much.
So, if you ever come in and want a hug, and I am glitching because glitches get stitches.
Yes.
I'll
stitches. Tender, affectionate medical care. No.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe not
necessarily. I'll owe you on a post-it note.
Yeah.
I'll put a post-it note for one free one for a hug.
I also need you to understand that those are going to have a black market cash value sometime soon.
Black market cash value. Okay.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah, because that's a type of currency.
Yeah.
Like that's a like. Also, if you see one laying on the ground, finders keepers.
Society.
Somebody
of the
clearly was not
space.
Taking care of it. Yeah. It's society
true.
Of the sacred space with your hug coupon.
Yep, hugs.
Yep.
Black market value.
Yep.
I can get down
hug
with
coupon,
that.
But then you can slap it with an owner reverse if you need to. where it's like, hey, I'm gonna put this down here and slide it across the counter, and this is a coupon for one free hug. And it could be like, go. Yeah, boop, no.
You're like,
sorry, now you have to give one to somebody, and it's not me.
Next time.
Right? So what that means is that somebody else needs the hug more than I do. Okay.
All right, fine. We can work with that.
That sounds like fun. I'm gonna go home and make up hug coupons now.
Yes.
Because that sounds like that. So I grew up homeschooled and very poor. And so we did coupons for everything. Like, it was like, here's one coupon for one free massage. I'll do your dishes for one night, you know, mm-hmm. or like, you know.
Well, and also kind of... you have what? There's 8 siblings?
10 of us.
Okay. So there's 10 of you guys in that family.
Yeah.
It was just me and my brother until my sister, stepsister came along. And mm-hmm. so like, we were poor too, but we didn't have coupons. Like yeah. That wasn't a currency for my family. So yeah. like hearing about it with yours is really interesting to me because like that big family dynamic,
mm-hmm.
If I wouldn't have been told that I was probably going to die if I got pregnant again, mm-hmm. we would probably have 4 or 5 kids.
Yeah.
Because I wanted that
yeah.
bigness because both of my parents came from 4 sibling households.
Yeah. yeah.
So I was out, but then it was just me and my brother, yeah. right? And most of my cousins, it was either 2 or 3 kids, mostly yeah. 2s. It was 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2.
Yeah.
But I always wanted like 4 or 5.
Yeah, a whole clan.
So hearing about this.
I will regale you with tales about my clan family all the time because we are fantastic and
yeah.
and have grown a lot together.
Yeah. So go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, that was the main.
For validating
the coupons,
that.
I appreciate that a lot. And that really like, that's one of those, like, I don't always remember how, because like having a family of 10 is a very unique experience.
Oh, sure.
And I don't always remember that because obviously you can't really imagine something different because this is what you had. And but lately, especially this season, we've had a lot of moments of really coming together as siblings mm-hmm. and being just like, wow, I am so deeply fucking appreciative of the fact that we have each other and the fact that we are all so hardworking and like we are vigilant to make sure people feel safe.
Yeah.
Like it is a deliberately constructed safe space between right. us and it's something that is such an incredible resource.
And you're the baby, right?
I'm the youngest girl. I have 4 younger brothers.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And then there's a 4-year gap between my older sister and I. And okay. then I've got 2 older sisters and 3 older brothers.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of us. And like it's funny because like we had my grandma's funeral a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like mom's side, big family. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody got together. And it is funny because like I'm so used to me and my siblings and our partners, like our van squad
right.
being like the mass volume
sure.
of bodies.
Right. Like you guys show up.
Yo,
show
listen,
up.
Yo, we had a 15 passenger van. It was a really, really big deal when we got a minivan.
Oh.
Because it meant that we could go places in small groups because gas was so expensive that you always had to like pile things in together.
Yeah.
You know, and like I was laughing and I was like, I didn't know that I was an introvert until I was in my 20s because I didn't realize that that was an option. Even though my whole childhood was spent, you know, like
yeah.
sneaking away and spending alone time doing my own stuff, you know, and like there was absolutely some pretty severe elements of neglect involved.
Oh, sure.
But also it was just like free to roam, you know, and,
oh,
and
yeah.
it wasn't.
Well, and it was totally different. I mean, I know yeah. I'm 10 years older than you are, yeah. but still you grew up in the mid to late 80s and 90s and, you know, it.
In small town.
It was different.
Yeah. Small town. We were, you know, like, and like there were people in my life that were definitely more vigilant,
mm-hmm.
but like generally speaking, there were so many of us kids and my parents were dealing with their own stuff that there was a lot of overwhelm going on that I didn't realize I was picking up on.
Right.
And it's
like going back to last week's episode, we don't know what we don't know until
right,
we know it.
Exactly. And it's funny because this morning or yesterday, my mom sent me a picture of a note that I gave. I slipped it under the door, apparently, back when she was having a really hard time. And I have no memory of it. I mean, it doesn't surprise me because I love leaving notes, especially words of encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna write a book that's gonna be called Letters of Encouragement, and it's just gonna be copies of letters that I've given to people.
I love it.
and it's because it's something like I mean it a lot, and and I really like it because it's nice to be able to have it to go back to. It's hard copies, you know, but it basically just says like I love you so much, Mom. Please slow down.
Yeah.
And it's in my fancy kid cursive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You
know? And she was just like, you know, you were probably like 9 or 10 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so overwhelmed and so burnt out, and you were so attuned to it, mm-hmm. even as a little kid. And like, she apparently has kept that pinned to her jewelry board for the whole time.
Aww.
And I was like, oh my God, I love that. And also just like having a moment of going back and like loving little kid me,
mm-hmm.
to be like, you little ham, you know?
Yeah.
You little ham. I see you out here, mm-hmm. seeing people having a hard time and wanting to give them that encouragement and that little bit of love. Yeah. And like, you know, and do I do it tactfully all the time? No. But is it a really important thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, yeah, no, that's what I can give out in coupons, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
But like, yeah, no, big family, it was cool. But like, as us siblings have gotten older and grown out, like we have all had moments of having to deliberately. So like kind of theme of this week is like lean in or lean out,
mm-hmm.
you know? So like, there's nothing wrong with having to lean out.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with needing to go in whatever direction that you're going in, with needing however much space you need.
Mm-hmm.
And also when you lean in, yeah, we're getting close to time,
mm-hmm.
but when you lean in, what it does is it gives the opportunity for growth, and it gives the opportunity to come up with different solutions.
Right.
And having places where you can safely lean into each other without unspoken expectations, without
right.
you know, putting with like healthily, it's healthily co, what is it, interdependent versus codependent. So interdependent versus codependent, and it is like, it's,
I don't know, well, that I've ever heard
it's
interdependent.
Now I gotta look it up, and I mean, tune in next week to talk more about interdependence versus codependence, and not a lot because we're not professionals in those matters.
Yeah.
However, I will look some things up and I will see if I can point you in a better direction.
Perfect. Because I'm not, I get it. I think I get the concept of the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, but I just
stronger
don't know,
together.
I just don't know that I had ever heard it.
Yeah. We're gonna we're gonna put some words to stuff next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't have a catchy name for next week's episode,
no.
but we'll talk about that stuff.
We'll
then.
Figure it out.
Yeah, and in the meantime, we love you guys so much.
So much.
Thanks for tuning in and
mm-hmm.
For growing with us, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you happen to hear this,
yeah,
and you need a coupon for a hug,
yeah,
you can come in.
Or a super, super clever, beautiful, pretty, locally made, fantastic gift for someone that you love so much.
That, too. So, I'm Sarah.
Yeah, I'm Esther.
And we love you, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out. Okay, love you, bye.
Okay, love you, bye.